Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, welcome back. Thank you for dropping by on this Thursday morning. Looking forward to our conversation today.
Good to be back with you, Dan.
So a few topics we want to catch our listeners, our clients up on, beginning with the U.S. southern border to Mexico. We've spoken about this topic many times over the past couple of years. I did see earlier this week that President Biden did speak with Mexico's President Obrador about potential new measures to secure the border. And it has also been reported that President Biden is weighing executive action on the matter as well. So what do we know as of today with respect to potential joint measures as well as potential executive action from the White House on this?
That's right. I mean, I think it's important to first take a step back and think about the backdrop, which is the border and immigration has become a liability for President Biden over the past few weeks and months. Increased flows at the border, both legal and illegally, have put a lot of pressure on the Biden administration. And, you know, polling has showed this to be one of the top issues for American voters, which is new. You know, immigration at times has been an issue of high interest, but to kind of catapult in the hit to the top has really exposed a political weakness for President Biden. So, you know, he is trying to figure out the path forward. And one of those steps, to your point, is to talk with the Mexican president about a path forward, because, you know, probably some of the best measures that could be done include cooperation with Mexico. You know, and this isn't a top issue for the leadership of Mexico. So getting them involved is a lift, but also, you know, could go a long way. So, you know, they've had, as you mentioned, this conversation, I think it was on Monday. There is some concrete steps, but a lot is, you know, in the works, if you will. The concrete steps include a focus on these repatriation flights and, you know, getting people back to their homeland. But then you have on the flip side, you know, both President Biden and the Mexican president agreed to have their national security teams, you know, sit down and you know, think of near-term solutions versus the long-term solutions. You know, how can we work together and, you know, do things kind of immediately to stem the tide of immigration. So, you know, I think on the regulatory side, you know, executive action, what can President Biden do? You know, he's been working on that for a few weeks. And, you know, I think he's trying to figure out a balance of, you know, using some authorities that, you know, he has at hand, you know, that may look similar to what former President Donald Trump did. But I think he's also trying to, you know, keep in mind who are his base voters and, you know, look at, you know, visa programs for, you know, those who are married to, you know, not only citizens, but people who are here legally. So there are a lot of moving parts here. But I think President Biden wants to move quickly so he can be seen as taking this issue seriously as it has risen in polls, as I mentioned.
Well, it is interesting to hear about the menu of options in play. We'll keep a close eye to see how this takes shape. I do want to move overseas. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has been accumulating a lot of flight miles. Last week, we spoke about the secretary's visit to China. He did have a full agenda that was against a backdrop of tension, which we covered last week. Though this week, the secretary did make his seventh visit to the Middle East. This since the October 7th attacks last year. This week he had traveled to Saudi Arabia to commence a regional tour. So what did his agenda consist of this week?
That's right. You're right. He has really racked up the miles. I think he's probably put on more miles than I do in a year at this point, right? And he did make several stops. You know, he was in Israel. He has been negotiating with not only Israelis, because, you know, the Biden administration at this point does not want to see Israel go into Rafah, and he's trying to really draw a line in the sand for the Israeli government. At the same time, he is pushing, the Egyptians and the Qataris to push Hamas even harder to accept a potential ceasefire deal that is on the table. This deal would release about 33, I think, hostages, and that would still leave about 100 hostages behind. But, you know, I think, you know, any break in negotiations would be welcome. But, you know, the sides have not met yet. You know, the back and forth has not produced a result. But I think Secretary Blinken is really trying to be an arbiter here. And, you know, I think it would be important to President Biden and his belief in negotiation being the path forward. You know, I think there's a sense, though, from Israel that, you know, they would love that to be the case in some respect. But I think a lot of the Israeli leadership believes the reality does not actually meet that negotiations will bear the fruit. So I think they're concerned that, you know, they have all these hostages left and there, no progress has been made for months. And, you know, that they may be forced to go into Rafah to try and get the remaining Hamas battalions that still exist. As I think they and many recognize, you know, if you want peace in the region at this point, Hamas needs to be eliminated. And with that, I think you're seeing some others in the region like Egypt and Jordan start to think about what does the post world look like? You know, when this is over, you know, what happens to Gaza? And I think that's actually a lot of the work that Secretary Blinken is also doing behind the scenes, is working with, you know, those in the region that could help the Palestinians, you know, in the post world, and figure out how to make life better for the Palestinians in Gaza.
Does remain a very delicate situation, and as you pointed out, Shane, a lot to still figure out, determine with respect to what comes next. So thank you for bringing us up to speed there. One more topic for this week, if we come back home, turning to Congress. This is in the wake of the passage of the aid packages we had spoken about a couple of weeks ago. Been very interesting to see these reports develop that House Speaker Mike Johnson potentially faced with a motion to vacate his post. This as early as next week. So what do we know as of today? And a curious, Shane, as to how you see this playing out.
Yeah, no, this is fascinating. You know, it potentially was going to be brought up by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, this motion to vacate, as early as, you know, 2 weeks ago. And she let it kind of breathe, if you will. And, you know, she has held a press conference yesterday that she intends to bring this up. Today, Congress, the House was scheduled to be in session, but they actually took the day for former Congressman Donald Payne, who just passed away. And so I think a lot of members are going up for to New Jersey for funeral services. And so this has put this motion to vacate probably into next week. You know, Democratic leaders have signaled that they will work with Republicans here to essentially not have this move forward and save Speaker Johnson. And this is actually kind of a win-win situation for Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, if she was successful in ousting him, she would become kind of a cult hero, if you will. If she is not successful, it would be because of Democrat support. And then she just gets to claim that Speaker Johnson now is beholden to Democrats, even though that may not actually be the case. So she kind of built herself a win-win scenario. I do expect this to move forward next week. I expect it won't be successful, and Speaker Johnson will remain Speaker. I think you see a lot of members of Congress from both sides of the aisle who are just frustrated with these kinds of politics, and the fact that they feel like they were elected to actually do something and not just, you know, have these intra-party fights every day when they're here. So I think there's frustration, and, you know, a lot of Democrats and Republicans both want to try and actually do the job they were elected to do, to legislate and try and come up with solutions for the American people, and they view this as not productive. So I think the frustration will be shown next week, and the motion to vacate process will be likely to be resoundingly defeated.
Well, some interesting dynamics in play within the House, and we shall see how this all plays out next week. Though, Shane, as always, thank you for dropping by the podcast to keep our listeners, our clients informed on a range of topics, a lot here to follow up on as always, and I do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Shane. Again today, we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. As always, I do want to point out to our listeners, our clients, you can locate the latest Washington Weekly publication available on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at UBS.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.